welcome to another edition of the Total Tuscany Podcast. I'm your host, Travis Justice, joined as always by my good friend, and he's your good friend, Pat Campagna. Hi, Pat.
Hey, ciao, Travis.
You know, I have a dirty little secret to confess to you.
What's that?
You just seem like the type of guy that I need to confess my secrets to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only because you know the secret, is that we have this passion about Tuscany. We have this passion about Italy. We have this podcast where we talk about it every single week. But my dirty little secret is I can't speak Italian.
Mm-hmm. Neither one of us speaks very much.
And it's always been something that's bothered me. Because from the first time that I went to Italy and spent 2 weeks in Tuscany, and you were with me during that time, I remember getting lost in a small village and I'm in a grocery store and I couldn't ask a question. They didn't know anything that I was saying. I didn't know anything they were saying. And I felt that's the only time I think I ever really felt inadequate or like I didn't belong in Italy was when I was in a language barrier.
There were definitely areas where there was a lot of English spoken, but we found a few small sections where no English was spoken.
And we've tried different little programs, whether they be online, whether they be, you know, DVD based, and we start taking that commitment to learn Italian only to find ourselves not maybe following through with what we are telling ourselves what we want to do. And we're the only ones to blame because we have real lives, we have families, and to devote that is been kind of difficult, but I think we may have found a solution.
Yeah, I've tried the CD and the podcast listening on the commute into the office, but this next podcast interview here might be the way to go for most of our listeners.
Cher Hale is our guest. The Iceberg Project is her passion, and where it's different, and you'll find out over the next 30 minutes. Is that you're not doing this alone. If you're going to learn Italian, don't sit at a computer by yourself. You need a community. Cher Hale is our guest. The Iceberg Project is her website. And Cher, I got to ask, first of all, what is the Iceberg Project?
The Iceberg Project is like this big idea I had when I was living in Italy. And I thought, you know what? I really want to find a way to teach foreign languages online in a way that's more than just phrases, in a way that's more than just, oh, look, here's the grammar. I wanted there to be a really authentic, deeper surface level in a way you learn the language so you can connect with the culture.
You mentioned you lived in Italy. When did you live in Italy and where did you live?
So I lived in Italy about a year ago. I was there for 6 months, and I was in a little town called Viterbo, which is 2 hours north of Rome.
And how did you find yourself in Tuscany?
Well, you know what? I would go there on the weekends and for like week-long trips.
So, you know, you went there. I'll take it on a student exchange. Should I guess that?
Yes.
So you went there on a student exchange. Did you know how to speak the language before you got there?
You know what? I knew enough to ask where to go when I got lost, which was incredibly useful.
Very important.
And I knew how to order food and to say like nice things to people like, oh, you're so pretty, or like, you're so kind. But that was about the extent of my language skills.
Cherhale.com is the website, or the icebergproject.com. What I find interesting is that you have this video on the homepage, and you can tell right away just by clicking it that you're very passionate about the language. You're very passionate about what you're doing. Did you know, when did that passion just get into your blood? Was it when you first stepped off the plane? Was it, you know, a couple months in? When did you feel this passion that, you know, speaking Italian and teaching Italian was something that you wanted to do?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I began learning it when I was 17 on a whim. I've always loved languages, and I thought, you know what, Italian, I should just try and see how it goes. I took 2 semesters. It wasn't so hot. I'm not a good university student, I don't think. And I was actually in a nonprofit job, really stressed out when I saw Italy as my escape. And I think that's why I got so passionate about it, because it like almost saved me from myself. Like, it was like my soul home.
That really resonates, Cher. I think all of us are looking at Italy and Tuscany in particular as an escape. Did it turn out?
Except it happened to you when you were young. We were middle aged men. We were like, we got to go to Tuscany.
Yeah, and it hasn't stopped. But how did that happen? What did you study? Where were you studying at the time?
I was a communication student, and I was doing that as well in Italy. But they only had one class for communication, so I was really just there, just to be there and study Italian.
Cher, let's dive into learning Italian. And yeah. I can't speak a lick. Pat can speak. Well, let's be honest. You can't speak
not
anything.
Much,
yeah,
not
you
much.
Can't. So what are the first steps? Especially, I mean, you're young. You're still passionate. You're driven. You know, we're middle-aged guys who all we know is English. So where would be a good starting point for somebody like us to begin that journey into speaking Italian?
It's a great question. And what I always start with everybody, no matter what age they're at, is I ask them, tell me why you really want to learn Italian. What's your motivation? Because without your motivation, you won't get anywhere. Like, I can guarantee you that. So figuring out, okay, why you want to learn Italian, and then digging below that surface. So if it's like, I love Italy, why do you love Italy? And continuing to ask yourself why until you get the nugget of the gem of wisdom that you really need to do. To remind yourself every day when it's hard to study, when it's hard to get up and like learn the grammar, that you do want this.
Now, I've always heard that the only way you can really learn a language is to fully immerse yourself. And that is just like you did. You go to Italy, you live there. Is that true? Or can I sit here in my house and learn Italian and feel comfortable in a speaking environment?
Yeah, I don't believe immersion is like the only way. I have so much faith that people can learn from home no matter where they are, especially with the internet these days. Like, there's so much interconnectivity in the world that it's pretty much impossible to feel isolated if you have the internet at your disposal. So there are sites like italki.com or sites like Live Mocha, where you can like connect with other people online and be able to have full conversations and like language exchange partners and practice what you've learned.
Cher, when you started the Iceberg Project, so take us through how you teach, how you want people to learn, because I'm on your email list now. I'm one of those guys.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, yes, I am. I'm on your email list. And take this as a compliment, because your emails that come out like intimidate me. You're like the P90X instructor when it comes to...
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's a compliment, because I think because you speak real, you speak truthful, and you're saying, hey, this isn't going to be easy. If you're going to do this, you need to commit yourself. So I'm calling you like the P90X instructor when it comes to teaching Italian. But take us through what you do and how you teach and how you get others to learn.
Well, thank you, first of all. That would be a first kind of analogy to myself. I appreciate it. So my basis of language learning, especially for Italian, is that it's based on joy. So I tell you, it's going to be a lot of hard work. But the point, we're here not to like kill ourselves with Italian. We're here to have a good time. So like, you should be enjoying yourself. And if you're not, we have to figure out why. But I really like to focus on modern culture. And I mix that in with grammar, because I know grammar is really important, and I actually really enjoy grammar because I'm like a linguistics nerd. So I take like clips offline from YouTube, and I'll pull out phrases from them, and I'll teach people that way, or I'll pick out articles or clips or things that just really speak to the modern culture and help people feel like they're more connected to Italy. And I use those methods to help people understand the grammar and the culture.
Realistically, how long would somebody need to practice per day? I mean, I can go buy Rosetta Stone. I can go get other things. But realistically, if somebody wants to do this, is it half hour a day? Is it, you know, an hour a day? Is it 2 hours a day? I recently purchased a CD or Italian course that said just 10 minutes a day and you can be on your way to learning Italian. Now, I could be wrong, but I think that's total BS.
Well, it depends on the promise they're ending you. Like, how long does it take? 10 minutes a day. I think it's really a matter of why you're learning it, because if you're moving there, I'm going to tell you definitely do more than 10 minutes a day. Like, even an hour a day depending on when you're moving, is really, really important. And you're going to feel just more ease when you get there. But if you're like a vacation or you stay there for 2 weeks at a time, I would say, you know what, do 15 minutes a day. Do what you can. You have a family, you have a job, like you have a life. And Italian for you can be like your mini escape every single day, right? Because we can't be there all the time. We want to. We're not expats. But when you like view Italian language learning as your mini escape to Tuscany, right? Then you have the extra motivation and you'll learn every day as well. So 15 minutes is about good for like leisure.
For leisure? So yes. is there, do you recommend doing it, you know, in the car? Do you recommend finding someplace quiet in your house, do it over the lunch hour? How would you recommend, somebody approaching their daily assignments or their daily tasks of learning Italian?
Well, one, studies show that it's better, you learn better when you're relaxed and you're in an environment where you feel like you're at ease. So that's really important. And number two, whenever it's convenient. So I have a lot of people who learn on the go. So they'll listen to my podcast in the car. If they have time on a lunch break, they'll open up their application for like Mingle Languages and they'll do a quick 15 minutes. Like whatever you can fit in, I applaud you.
So Cher, do you recommend that, obviously when you're at ease, but in your car, et cetera, but do you recommend that we do this with other people and try to exchange in daily conversation type things?
Great question. I think what you'll find in life usually is that when you have people around you who are also passionate and also want to learn, you are more accountable and you enjoy it more. Mm-hmm. So absolutely, yes. Like find a language meetup in your town, go online and find people like forums, talk to people, do whatever you can to surround yourself, people who love as much as you do. Mm-hmm.
So when they sign up for the Iceberg Project, and what I'm finding is, and as soon as you start immersing yourself in this community that is Italy, or ours is more specifically Tuscany, you find how many people share your passions.
Yes.
So when you create your learning applications and groups, is it with other people? Is it Google Hangouts? Is it Skype? How do you guys get together as a community to learn?
Yeah, so I've been working really hard on this recently, and we typically do like, I'm trying to do a webinar a month on Google Hangouts. So they'll meet and we'll talk about like one piece of the grammar or some phrases to help them like meet each other for the first time and also get some information, some education. But I am working on like creating a community where they can talk to each other all the time and like do language exchange on their own, because it's seriously growing so fast that I can't keep holding on to everything else. And there's so many people who want to connect and who want to meet each other.
So Cher, a lot of our listeners are people that have never traveled to Italy, but are probably going to go, you know, soon. Mm. Are there some phrases that you think would be very helpful that they pick up on before their first trip?
Yes. So like I mentioned to you before, learning how to say I'm lost is brilliant. And how do I go to XYZ, wherever you're going? So if you want to say I'm lost for a male, it's sono perso, sono perso. And a woman, female, ends with an A, so it's sono persa, sono persa. And that's I'm lost, which is a great expression to learn, especially if you are a more adventurous type and probably will get lost. Mm-hmm.
Any others?
Yeah, there are so many. I don't know where to start. Do you have categories that I can like feed off of?
Well, I'm lost is a good one. Where's the restroom?
Ah, okay. Dove il bagno? Dove il bagno? And dove on its own means where, and that's a great word to learn because you can ask dove la stazione di treno, right? Where's the train station? Dove la metro? Where's the metro? And that's really helpful too.
And Cher, our experience in Tuscany is the people love when we try to speak Italian. We were finding ourselves wanting to speak more, and they actually wanted to converse with us in English.
Yeah, this is fascinating about Italians. They don't understand like why we want to learn Italian, because they know it's not very useful as a language. And so when they hear you say it, they appreciate it so much, but they also want to practice their English because they are trying to be like more of a global country.
So our listeners really shouldn't be intimidated by the need to speak a little bit of Italian.
No, absolutely not. They are so, so supportive. It's very rare that somebody will like make fun of you or look down on you. It's very, very rare. But if you need the extra support, I always recommend like a glass of vino before, or a shot of limoncello always helps ease the pain. And that really helps you just be at comfort with speaking.
So do you recommend a Chianti or a Brunello? What do you recommend then while we're going to sit down and have some wine?
I'm not really a wine person. I'm embarrassed to say. I drink a lot of it when I was there, but I wasn't particular. I love Prosecco. If we're speaking alcohol in terms of like aperitivo, love Prosecco. And that's like a sparkly champagne type of wine.
So you lived in Italy for 6 months. I'll take it that you went throughout the country. Did you find the language, the dialect, even the slang was different from, let's say, Venice down to Capri?
Absolutely. So I think I noticed it first in Venice with the way they say street. And then I have one of my really good friends is from Calabria, and I went to see his family there for a week, and he taught me so much Calabrese that I was just astounded by the differences between the standard Italian and what they call their Italian.
And what you're astonished? What's the difference?
So Calabrese is completely different as a language. It ends in a lot of mus and nus. For example, in Italian we say ci vediamo, meaning I'll see you later. And they say indivrimu, to mean the same thing. So it's like different, completely different words.
So Cher, when someone goes to your website and they're learning your method of Italian, is there a particular dialect or region that you're teaching them?
No, so I teach just standard Italian. But I like to dabble and teach them, if you hear this, then you know where it's from, kind of thing.
Kind of covering all the bases.
Yes, whatever I can do for them.
Cher, you know, when they go to your website, are you selling these? Is it free? What's the process that people should know if they go to your website and sign up for this?
Absolutely. So everything on the site is completely free. All the content that I write, my podcasts, any videos I put out, they're all free. The only thing that's paid, I have a travel guide to Italy, and it's called Essential Italian Travel Phrases, How to Thrive Instead of Survive in Just Italy. And then I have like grammar things coming out. So I have a 21-day Conquer Italian Prepositions Challenge, which is a sticky subject for people who want to learn Italian. And there are things like that I put out to help people go a little bit deeper, because it's really time-consuming to create these things. And that's the only reason that it's a little bit more expensive.
No, I totally understand that. How many languages do you speak?
I speak three.
What are they?
Chinese, Mandarin, Italian, obviously, and then English.
And did you learn those at a very young age? So you really started picking up Italian when you went there. How about the Chinese Mandarin? When did you start learning that?
Yeah, my mom's from Taiwan. So when she moved here, she couldn't speak English. So I picked up a little bit when I was a kid. And I've been learning it all my life, actually. I'm not like near native by any means, but enough to get by.
What, did you find it easier to learn Italian? Because I'm a stubborn dude, and I've sat down and I've started the Rosetta Stone and I've done some of these online things, and I'm just, I feel inadequate sometimes. How do I get over that? How do I get over that barrier of feeling inadequate, like I don't know what the hell I'm doing?
Yeah, this is a common problem. So many of us, we're just so hard on ourselves. We think we have this expectation problem, right? Where we think we should be at a certain place because of whatever reason. And then when we're not there, we get discouraged and we almost want to give up, right? And so I think the best way to remedy this is to A, meet other people learning Italian so you can talk about it. Because you'll find that they're having the same struggle, and then you'll feel less bad about yourself. Because I can guarantee you, at any point in my journey, I can tell you like that today sucked learning Italian. I didn't speak anything right. I didn't say anything right. It was terrible, but I still enjoyed it. And then the next thing I would say is to create really realistic expectations based on your life and like how you know you learn.
Well, you brought up something earlier that I thought was interesting. I think it was from one of Pat's questions, and that is getting with others that speak Italian. Now, I'm not in Italy right now. Pat's not there. You're not there. Say I wanted to, you know, form a group to where we meet weekly at a coffee shop for like an hour, hour and a half, and call it a support group, call it a learning Italian group. What would be the best way, do you think, to facilitate that? And what materials should we start with maybe beginners who know absolutely nothing? Would it be best to like find an Italian teacher to bring it on board? Or is there something we could do, and, you know, take materials and say, all right, here's what we can do. Let's start this and we'll meet weekly and see what our progress is.
Yeah, so the latter sounds more like what's been happening across the states. It's a very organic process. So I would recommend that you put up a group on meetup.com, and then you put up a description, be honest, be authentic, I love Italian, blah, 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 all of these things. And what you'll find will happen is that people of all levels will come out of the woodwork for you, but also Italians will come out of the woodwork for you. So maybe first meetup, you figure out where everybody's at on their level, and then over time, you'll find Italians who are native speakers who just want to be there to help. And that could be the best thing that might happen for your group.
Yeah, I mean, I never thought of doing something like that until we just had this conversation. And all this stuff is just rushing through my mind right now. Well, if we got together on a Wednesday night or a Thursday night for an hour at a coffee shop and we all just start this process, I think it'd be kind of fun.
Sounds actually like another option just to sit and talk about Italy, yeah.
Exactly,
now,
exactly.
When do you plan on going back to Italy?
I'll be there in June for a month.
You're not counting the days or anything like that, are you?
I am so counting the days.
Now, what months were you there when you went to school? Were you there from fall through winter? Were you there from winter through spring and early part of summer? What times were you there?
I was there in fall, so I was there from August to early February.
Was there a favorite part of Tuscany that appealed to you, Cher?
Or even a favorite part of Italy?
That's a hard question. I think, where did I go that I really loved in Tuscany? I loved Siena. Mm-hmm. I thought that their piazza was just breathtaking. Mm-hmm. And I also bought like this really great journal from there. So I'm a little biased, but I think it's a great part of Tuscany. And then Italy in general, I would say that the town that I lived, I loved the most.
Okay.
And it had the oldest medieval walls in Italy, so it was very like historically nerdy, and I loved it.
I'm going to ask you, Shira, to do something a little different for our listeners. For people, again, who have never been, walk them through a day, Cher's favorite day in Italy and Siena. What would that look like?
So what I loved about Italy is that I would wake up in the morning, and the bells would wake me up. So I live right next to a church, and the bells would chime every half hour, and I'd be like, okay, well, you know, I got to get up now. It's already like 8 o'clock, so I could just tell from the bells. I would roll out of bed, put on actual clothes, because this is Italy, right? We don't wear pajamas anywhere. And I would walk across the street to Cafe San Sisto, where the barista Florinda would say buongiorno to me, and she would give me I got a cappuccino every morning and a plain croissant, and then I would eat breakfast. And it was just like this very slow, easy kind of motion. And then I would like go back to my room, do some homework or read a book, take a walk. I could pass Giotta down to the center of the town, meet my friends for a coffee or go to a cafe together. And then I would go to school because it was fun and I got to hang out with Italian students all day long. And then at night we would drink some wine and go out to the bars and like just talk and experience a little more of the culture.
Now, Cher, you mentioned slow down. What is it about Tuscany and Italy that has people slow down? Like you mentioned that when you wake up in the morning. What is that?
It's interesting because overall, as people, I don't think Italians are really that calm. Because it's a strange phenomenon, I think.
They don't drive calmly, do they?
No, it's fascinating, right? You would think, oh, you're so relaxed. You enjoy life so much, but no. I think it's just a matter of you're more awake when you're in Italy. Like you feel much more conscious of your surroundings. Mm-hmm. And that enables you to be like, you know what? I'm just going to enjoy every piece of life that's given to me right now.
It's funny that the first thing that you brought up, what you remembered most are the sounds. And yours was the sounds of the bells. Because yes. Pat and I talk a lot about what we remember are the birds chirping in the morning. As soon as the sun would come up, we've usually stayed at villas that are on estates or farms, so the bells are in distance. But you remember kind of the sounds of your first thing in the morning, and yours were the bells, ours happened to be the birds. It's funny that that's one of those senses that just sticks with you.
Exactly. It's so strange, right?
Yeah. But you're a fascinating person. Your iceberg project is a fascinating project. I think I can see tremendous growth with this, because there's so many people out there, as I'm finding, that want to learn Italian, that want to immerse themselves into the culture, and a good way to do that is with learning the language. Again, they should go to your website and start yours. But if you were to recommend, let's just say, is Rosetta Stone all it's cracked up to be? Or would you recommend using the free ones online? Starting with yours, what else would you recommend for people to learn language?
Ooh, controversial topic.
That's okay. We like to be controversial.
I am not a fan of Rosetta Stone.
Why is that?
The price is outrageous for what you get in return. It's so boring. Like, isn't that boring just to sit on a computer and not actually be interacting with real people? Like, I just feel like it's so removed from what I want to be doing that I can't. When I don't care, I don't learn. And that's what happens with Rosetta Stone.
I think that's with everybody, isn't it? If you don't care, how can you learn? And that's why you give up faster, right?
Exactly. And I think Rosetta Stone is like a great demotivator. However, I should caveat, I know that it's worked with people. So if you really think it's going to work for you, I think that you should do it. But I wouldn't say it's great for everyone and it won't work for everybody, which is true of most methods, right?
Yeah.
So if you don't do that, I would say Duolingo or Memrise is two great websites that are free and really useful. I would also say that trying to read blogs in Italian is really useful. And one great, midway through that is Melissa Muldoon runs Diario di una Studentessa Matta, and she writes in Italian and English, and that's helpful for people who are trying to transition into thinking more in Italian. Besides that, I would say reading Vanity Fair, Cosmo, or whatever you read in your life in Italian is really useful, or same thing with watching TV.
You know, I've heard an expression about, you're getting good at the language, you know the language when you dream in it. Is that true?
You know what? I wouldn't say that you can feel like you've made it, but it's a cool celebratory kind of action that happens.
So you know what I'm talking about then. You've dreamt in Italian, I take it.
Yeah, I used to dream in Italian a lot.
It seems to be a pretty common experience, isn't it?
Well, I also had some boyfriends who were Italian, and then maybe that, helped.
So you weren't dreaming, they were just talking in their sleep.
Exactly.
There we are. Thanks for that admission, Jim.
I have to be honest.
No, that's and honesty is always the best policy. Before we let you go, when did you... So you learned to speak Italian. How fast till you started writing in Italian? Because I sit here and think, okay, if I learn to speak this, it'd be awesome. Then I watch people write in Italian. I'm like, I could never do that.
Really?
Yes.
I think that I've always been a writer. I've written journals my entire life. So when I was in Italy and I was learning the language, my initial reaction was just write in Italian and to see what happened. So it was never a barrier for me. Was always just this is natural. And I was I look back now at my entries and they're really terrible, really bad grammar. But I think just starting was the best thing I could have done for myself.
And I notice on your website you have a 31-day challenge to learning Italian?
Yeah, so that's a pretty easy way, and it's free, for people to figure out what level they're at and to break through whatever wall they have in front of them. Because there are so many walls that come up around us, right? And the challenge takes you through various funnels to help you get through whatever wall you're dealing with at the moment.
Well, I'm going to take your challenge, Cher. We're going to start this.
Well, let me know how you do.
So what we'll do, we'll start tomorrow. I know we should start today, but we're both pretty busy right now. So we'll start tomorrow. In 31 days, we should have you back on, and either I'm going to be a complete failure, or we'll be able to converse a little bit in Italian.
Yeah, I think I'll take you up on that.
All right.
And that challenge.
So what is today's date? Is it the 22nd of March we're recording this? So somewhere in the middle of April, we'll give you a call and we'll say, all right, here we go. We're going to converse a little bit.
You're going to make us, hold us to it. Make us honest.
Because you because you are the P90X instructor of Italian.
Oh, my goodness. I'm putting it on my site now.
So that's a quote. You can say that. Say, Travis and Pat from TotalTuscany.com, call me the P90X of Italian learning.
Brilliant.
Cher, Hale, it's been so great talking with you. We appreciate it. The Iceberg Project.com or ShareHale.com. You can link up to it on our website as well. Thanks so much for your time. You've been absolutely wonderful.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
All right, Pat, we're on the clock. We got 31 days to start this challenge. And I'm going to be honest with you, like everything I've ever tried to commit myself to, I've never followed through. I haven't followed through on weight loss. I haven't followed through on exercise. I got a hard time seeing myself following through on 31 days.
Yeah, but it's like anything else. Now we have somebody that's going to hold us to it.
I do like the idea that we can start our own little maybe groups, small group sessions where you meet once a week. I think we can do that where we live. I think you can do that where you live. So if you want to start learning Italian, reach out to others. Use social media. Use, you know, a sticky note in a coffee shop to say, hey, we want to start learning Italian. We're going to start forming a small group. Feel free to join us on such and such night at such and such time. I think that's a good way to really approach it.
It sounds like she said, it sounds organic. And I'd like to get some feedback to see how it worked for people.
So it looks like we're going to be talking to Cheryl in 31 days. And we'll try to give you more words than buongiorno.
Ciao.
Pronto. Prego.
Prego.
Yeah, that's about the in bagno. That's about our limit right now. So follow along. This journey could be quite interesting as...
Let's have fun with it.
As our language skills improve.
We'll learn with you.
So stay along for the journey. For Pat Campagna, I'm Travis Justice. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Total Tuscany Podcast.